Moshe Feldman, Parshas Tzava, Toshin Ayin Vav.
Morning, Rabbi Yisai.
Morning.
Start off with a very, very big, hearty mazel tov to the Psimcha Shadmi for the chasna today of his son in London. A grace of mazel tov from all of us, all the mishtachim of Start Your Day Torah Way, the amount of work that Psimcha puts into it, and maybe Zoycha, that his son should build a Bais Neman be Yisrael, and he should be Zoycha to make many, many more simchas, and have nachas and gesund and only besuras tevis.
Amen.
We'll begin, surprisingly maybe, or maybe not, with a story. Rabbi Yehuda Wallace, who is the director, Rabbi Yosef Wallace, who is the director of Arachim in Eretz Yisrael. And his father, Yehuda Wallace, was in Dachau concentration camp, along with many, many other Achenu B'nai Yisrael. And he was in the camp, and one day a Yid was being led to his death, and as he was being led to his death, he threw a package at Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had no idea what the package was. He thought maybe it's some bread. Any chance of a bit of bread was extremely welcome, of course. He opened the package, he opened the bag, and he saw it was a pair of tefillin, which this Yid had managed to keep in the camps and had managed to hold on to it. And now that he was being led to his death, he threw the bag at Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda took the bag, of course, hid it under his garment, under his shirt that they had to wear. And he managed to smuggle it to his bunk. And he managed to hide it for the rest of that day and the rest of the evening. And the next morning, before the roll call, before the infamous roll call, he was able to put on his tefillin. He put on that tefillin, and he couldn't believe the chance he had, when all of a sudden, totally unexpectedly, a German officer, Yimach Shamai, arrived. And he saw Yehuda with his tefillin. And he said to him, "You are going to be put to death because you've broken the cat rules and you've put on these. You're going to be taken to your death." And he made Yehuda, of course, take off his tefillin straight away. And he took them, this German officer took the tefillin and he tossed them in the air. He tossed the tefillin in the air. And then Yehuda was taken to be hung. Not only to be hung, but a public hanging. And a noose was put around his neck. He was put on the stool. And mockingly, the German officer said to him, "Nu dog, what's your last wish?" Yehuda said, most remarkably, "I want to be able to put on those tefillin one more time." Imagine. We can't imagine. We cannot imagine. And we cannot imagine the scene, what it looked like, as he stood there with the noose around his neck. and struggling to put on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rush. And then finally he took off the tefillin, knew that any second he was going to be killed. He was going to be hung. And everybody was forced to watch the spectacle. Even the women from the other side of the barbed wire, they were all standing and watching to see how Yehuda was going to be hung. And all of a sudden he grabbed that moment and he turned round to everybody and he said, "Don't think for one second that I am the loser and he is the winner. Don't think that for one moment. You should know and you should have it in your hearts that I am the winner and we're all winners and he is the loser." That's what he bravely, brazenly said in front of this German officer who was about to hang him any second. He grabbed that moment. The German officer was he understood the Yiddish, of course, and he was infuriated. He was extremely angry. And he said, "Right, hanging is too soft a death for you. You're not going to be hung." And he removed the noose from around the neck of Yehuda. This is all being told by Rabbi Yosef Wallace, leader of Arachin in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. He removed the noose from the neck of Yehuda. And he made him go in a squatting position and he put two heavy rocks under his hand as he was some distance from the ground, two heavy rocks. And he said, "I'm going to give you 25 lashings on your head. And if you drop the rocks, I'm going to shoot you straight away. But you know what? Take my advice," said the wicked Russia. "Take my advice and drop the rocks now. Because you're not going to make 25 lashings. So do yourself a big favor and drop the rocks and I can shoot you and it'll be over and done with." And still Rabbi Yehuda was able to have the presence of mind and said, "No, I'm going to hold on for it for every second of life, for every second of Kiddush Hashem that I'm able to make." And he held on to these rocks, amazingly, for all 25 lashes. He was left for almost dead, totally unconscious by the time he got to 25. And being shoved on the ground, the German officer walked away, rubbed his hands together, killed another Jew. Yehuda was not dead, obviously. Another Yid was able to push him aside and put a rag over his head to make it look as if he was dead. Afterwards, he helped him to his bunk. He was able to regain consciousness, and the rest, he was able to survive. He turned round and he saw an 18-year-old girl who'd managed to run from the other side of the barbed wire. And she said, "I saw what you did. And I saw the way you spoke. And I saw the way you said, 'We are the winners, I am the winner and he is the loser.' You grabbed that moment to make such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. I want to marry you." And indeed they got married. The Klausenberger Rebbe wrote a ksuba by heart. He wrote a ksuba on a piece of paper, whatever they had there. And this was a ksuba still in possession of Yosef Wallace to this very day. He has possession of this ksuba, which they made for Yosef Wallace's father and mother in the camp in Dachau. To be able to grab a moment is no easy thing. To be able to make the right decision in life is no easy thing. Baruch Hashem, we are far billions of miles away from Dachau concentration camp. We have no hasoga what's been spoken about. We have no hasoga of the story of the heroism and the heroic deeds and words which went on in that story. But we can all grab a moment. As we say in English, here's your chance. Grab it. And before we go any further, we're ready in Chodesh Adar, so we don't have to go too far, just to look in Megillas Esther, Kim Hacharesh Tachrishi Ba'es HaZois, Revach v'atzola yamoid na Yehudim mimoka machev atu beis avich tibet. In other words, all we need to do is to see how Mordechai was telling Esther, this is your moment. This is your chance. And you have to be able to grab it and take it with two hands. Because once you leave go, and time will leave go, and time will run, as we all know how fast time goes, once you've allowed time to go, you'll have lost your chance. So therefore you have to grab the moment as much as you can. Don't throw it in the bin. Of course, we take our guidance from the Torah. We've just said time runs so fast. Before we know it, we've come out of Mitzrayim, we've got the Torah, we've already had Sedra Mishpatim, we've already built them, we've already had instructions for the Mishkan. This week we're having instructions for the Big Day Kahuna. It's going extremely fast. Next week, Mitzvah Shem will be the story of the Egel Azahov. Let us allow some time to be able to think back and look what the Torah has told us about grabbing the moment and not losing, not missing an opportunity. The Torah tells us way back in Bereishis, which seems months and months and months ago, but it wasn't really all those many weeks ago, we find the story of Cain and Hevel. Now, at first glance and at first thoughts, everybody will tell you that Cain was the Rosha and Hevel was the Tzaddik. But if you look carefully in the Torah says, Vayehi miketz yomim vayovei Cain mipri ha'adama minchal Hashem. Cain was the first one to bring the carbon. And the Torah says, Vehevel hevi gam hu. Hevel was the one who brought the carbonus after Cain. Cain seemed to be the initiator. Cain seemed to be the one who began the whole process. He seemed the one to be able to want to bring carbonus for the first time in world history. However, Cain did not grab the moment. Cain could have utilized the experience, and he could have taken the fact that he was initiator of Korbonus, and he could have made sure that the whole world was a place of Avodas Hashem. Instead, his kavanas were diminished, and as Rashi tells us, B'Shem Chazal, he took mina gorua, he took from the inferior quality of stuff, of Peiris, Mipri Ho'adomo. And in the end, we have the famous vote by Yisha Hashem, El Hevel Bel Menchosoi, V'El Kain Bel Menchosoi Loisha. The Eibishter did not turn to Cain's korban, even though Cain was the one who initiated the whole process. Even though Cain was the one who was first. Sometimes we can be ahead of the game. Sometimes we can say, oh, I'm really doing my very best in Avodas Hashem. I'm really doing my very best in Tefillah. I'm doing my very best in Brachas and in Birchas HaMazon. But we have to ask ourselves, are we? Are we ahead of the game? Or have we simply taken another precious, precious moment and lost it? Not utilized the full experience one can possibly have. At every turn. And that's why the Torah uses the word shot. The Eibishter wanted to say, I'm able to turn to you. If you turn towards the Eibishter, I'm able to turn towards you. Whether we turn and do a mitzvah properly, with a full hiddah, with the full beauty and the full splendor, or whether we say, this is going to be yet another. This is going to be yet another one. Yet another brach I've made to the many, many I'm making. Yet another birchas hamazon. Yet another tefillah. It all depends how we take this moment and how we grab every single chance this moment can offer us. And this is indeed what the Eibishter said to Cain. The Eibishter said to Cain, Lomo chorolach velomo noflu ponecha. Why are you angry that I didn't take your korban? And why has your face fallen? Why have you allowed a Nephilim? Instead of causing this to be a tremendous aliyah, you've allowed it to become a Nephilim. And the same with every piece of Avodas Hashem we do. We can turn every action into a wonderful aliyah. We don't want the Abishah to turn around to us and to say, Lomo Noflu Ponecho. Why have you turned an aliyah, a potential aliyah, why have you turned it into a Nephilim? No one told Cain about Kabbalas. Cain reached the Madrega on his own. He was the one who taught Hevel. Where do we see this further in the Torah as we continue our journey? A kind of chazor, if you don't mind, through Sefer Bereishis, which we miss so much already. If we look at Sedra Noach, and we see how Noach spent 120 years building the Teva, and he spent so long in order to give people a chance to do teshuva. And there was so much chance people had. People could have turned their whole lives around. People could have completely taken in by Noach. And even those who may have mocked Noach at first, but surely later on they would have come round to the fact that Noach is talking sense. And yet we find that after 120 years of Noach building the Teva, there was nobody in the world, Roy, to be saved from the Mabul except Noach and his family. And according to Chazal, Oik Melech HaBoshon, that's a different Cheshbon, nobody, Roy, to be saved even after such an experience. None of them grabbed 120 years of moments. And we find, of course, carrying on through Sefer Bereishis, we find somebody else who for some reason did not grab the moment. Lot was living with Avraham Avinu. What would we give? What would we give to be able to be in the same house as Avraham Avinu and Sarai Imenu? Can you imagine? Where do you live? Oh, I live. But doesn't Avraham Avinu live there? Yeah, I live in the same house as Avraham Avinu. I live in the same house as Sarai Imenu. Can you imagine the experience? The moments? And Lot, unbelievably, completely dropped it like a burning coal from his hands. He just let it slip by completely in order to allow his roi and his shepherds to pasture in other people's fields. And Avram said to Lot, Al no sehi merivo, haloi kol ha'oretz lefonecho, hi pored no me'aloi, please separate. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Completely, completely gave Lot a chance to separate. We may ask ourselves, Avraham Avinu, who was such a machnes oirach, who brought in strangers on all four sides of his tent, couldn't he allow Lot to stay? Couldn't he give Lot Musa and finish, allow Lot to stay? But when Avraham Avinu saw how many chances Lot had, how many lessons Lot had, and continued to remain obstinate, and continued to allow his roi, his shepherds, to pasture in other people's fields, Avraham Avinu realized that this is somebody who's utilized all his chances. And the only way is he pored no me'aloi. But Lot still had a chance. He could have grabbed that moment. He could have gone down on his bended knees and he could have said to Avraham Avinu, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell my roi not to pasture in other people's fields anymore. Please, please, please forgive me and allow us to stay together. Which hopefully is what we would have done in such a situation. What do we find? Vayisa Lot es Einov, Vayar es Kokika Yaradein. He blew it. He decided he was going to take the plains of Sodom. All that was better than Avraham Avinu. All that, the plains of the Yarden. He suffered very much, of course, as we know from it. He's lucky to have been saved with his life. So Lot was not able to grab the moment. He was not able to realize, oh, this is what I should do, and I'm going to stay with Avraham Avinu. Likewise, in our situations, we have a chance to be medabik with ruchnius, to be medabik with people who have ruchnius. Do we make the most of these situations? Do we make the most of tzaddikim among us? Do we make the most of anshei kedoshim among us? We have to ask ourselves, maybe we should go away from the derech of light. And maybe we should try and be medabik with these heiliger menschen. And maybe we should try and say, oh, we are grabbing the moments we've got, grabbing the opportunities, grabbing the place where we live, and the proximity of such gewaltig kedusha around us. And maybe that will cleave to us and make us better people. Further going through Sefer Bereishis, we find somebody who grabbed the moment straight away, of course. We know about Eliezer. Eliezer had a chance to take anybody who was by the well, and he made a tefillah, although Chazal tell us a tefillah was shaloi kahogen, but in the end, he grabbed the moment by taking Rivka, by bringing Rivka to the house of Avraham and Yitzchok. And then we find an amazing story. In Parshas Toldos, we find that when Esav came in after hunting, and he was ready to give food to Yitzchak Avinu, to his father, and he came in, and Yitzchak said, you are Esav, you're coming to bring me food? Let me ask you then, who then, me, Ephi, who then was the one who brought me the food? Hatzot Sayyid Vayove Li, and I ate from everything before you came. And then Yitzchak had the gewaltige presence of mind. He grabbed the moment by adding three vital, vital words. Gam Baruch Yeh. He shall remain gebenched. He shall remain blessed. Because otherwise the whole thing could have changed. If it was a mistake, somebody coming in by mistake and bringing food, and it's not really the right son, Gam Baruch Yeh. I'm grabbing this moment to declare that Baruch Yeh, he is going to be the one that's blessed. He is the one who deserves to have the full brachas of Yitzchak Avinu. Continuing further, now we come to Miketz. I say all this because Rav Shach Zatzal used to say, when he came to the end of Vayechi, when he came to the end of Bereishis, every year he gave a sigh. Every year he gave a krech, and he said, there's so much to learn from Sefer Bereishis. And as we see in our own life development, there's so much to learn. Yosef was finally taken out of prison, and he was brought to Paroi in order to interpret the dreams. And indeed, interpret the dreams he did, about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. But then Yosef HaTzadik grabbed the moment, and he himself said that Ato Yeire Paroi Ish Novoin V'chacham. Paroi should choose somebody, a wise man, to put him over Mitzrayim, and he should appoint officers and arm and gather food in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. If Yosef wouldn't have said those words, more than likely the people in Paroi's palace would have said, ah, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's a young, inexperienced person, he's been in prison for 12 years, you can't rely on him, you can't take what he says, forget about it. But when Yosef HaTzadik said, Ata Yere Paroi, and he's got Vyafke Pekidim, so straight away all those officers were thinking in glee, oh, here's jobs for the boys. We'll be able to have positions. We'll be able to do things for the palace. We'll be able to have jobs in Mitzrayim. Paroi, Yosef knew that Paroi needed to have officers. Paroi needed to have pekidim. He grabbed the moment in order to realize his chalomos, his dreams of the brothers bowing down to him, because it needed a situation where he was going to be the Melech HaMitzrayim. And then, of course, we find the Maaseh with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim to be with Yosef. And what does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us amazingly. What do we see? The Torah tells us, Vayesa Yosef Merkavtoi, Yosef went up to meet Yaakov. Vayero Elo Vayipoil Al Tzavoro Vayeifk Al Tzavoro Oid. Yosef cried over Yaakov's neck. So Rashi tells us B'Shem Chazal straight away. And what about Yaakov? Avol Yaakov loy nofal al tzavre Yosef v'loy noshkoi shahoy koyre yeshema. He was reading Shema. No other time to read Shema except now when he's seeing his son for the first time after 22 years. He was using all his ahava. All his heart was full of love. Completely full of love of missing his son for 22 years, and now we're seeing him again. We can't imagine the ahava. He was taking that ahava and utilizing it. He was taking it and utilizing it to love Hashem with all your heart. This was a chance that Yaakov took. He grabbed the moment. Leaving Sefer Bereishis for the time being and going into Sefer Shemos, we find the famous psukim at the beginning of Yisroi, Vayishma Yisroi, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. Many, many people heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Many people heard what went on with the Makkahs of Mitzrayim. Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edoim, Eile Moyav Yevzei Moy Rolad, Namoygu Kol Yoshvei Kanoam. But what did they do about it? Absolutely zilch. They did nothing. They stayed where they were. They may have tutted for the Mitzrayim and Vayter carried on. Vayishma Yisroi, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. He grabbed the moment. He utilized the chance. I'm going to come and I'm going to join in. I'm going to take all this oiris I can and I'm going to join in. I said leave Sefer Bereishis for a moment because I want to just go back just for one fleeting moment to Sefer Bereishis again. Something that Eibishter did. The Eibishter, after the Mabul, the Eibishter produced a rainbow. And the Eibishter said, when I see the rainbow, I'll remember the promise and I'll remember what I want to do to people because they're not following in proper ways, and I'll remember Esperisi and I will not destroy them. The Abishtha needs a rainbow. The Abishtha needs the seven colours of the rainbow in order to remember not to destroy the world? No. The Abishtha is teaching us, I want you to strengthen your resolve. There's all different types of people in the world of all different shapes and all different colours. You've got to be with people and you've got to do chesed and you've got to have the resolve of all different colours. And it takes a second. How often do we walk out of shul and we're walking out with somebody towards the car park or the other side of the shul? And it's very, very easy to just bypass the person, maybe nod and say hello, and go to the car. It only takes a moment to ask somebody, how are you? Every one of us has a story. And every one of us feels the need to tell that story every now and again. Maybe not the whole story, but part of a story. I told my wife some time ago that I was ready to leave an engagement party and I'll see her outside. On the way, as I was coming out, I said to somebody, hello. It was just after Pesach some years ago. I said, how was Yom Tov? He said, yeah, it was alright, but I'm getting divorced. So once he said those words, I couldn't just, oh, okay, fine, bye. Wave my hand and carry on to my wife. If he said those words to me, I had to listen. I had to listen to the story. He had a story, which obviously I won't go into now. But Sometimes you're in a situation where you can't just go. Somebody says words to you, those words trigger off a need to be listened to. And I said to him, oh, I'm terribly sorry. And he said, no, don't be sorry. I should have done it years ago. Even that was important for the person to take off his chest and to listen to. All it takes is, obviously if you realise you're in a massive rush and it's going to be impossible to stand by and listen to somebody, it's going to be impossible to be able to listen to a story, one has to use one's seichel and manoeuvre words very, very carefully as one manoeuvres one's legs. And to be able to put it in such a way that it's not going to be a long dragged out thing. But everybody needs to be listened to from time to time. And it's up to us to be able to realise what's going on with somebody else. The famous story of Ariel Levine. He met up, he was in the Slutz Yeshiva, where Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was a Rosh Yeshiva. And many, many years later, they met up as, when Ariel Levine was already a married man, they met up together in Yerushalayim. And they were talking, and the Mrs. Almond said, tell me, how were you, your years in my yeshiva? He said, yes, fine. And tell me, I know it's a bit late now, it's many, many years later, but you had your meals? He said, yes, I had my meals. Tuesday I went to this family. Thursday I went to this family. Shabbos I used to be invited among those families. I see. What about Monday and Wednesday and Friday? There was a silence. And Rabbi Aryeh said, I may do. It's all right. I left over from one day to the next. I may do. Rabbi Zalman gave a tremble because he realized that somebody in his yeshiva had gone for 3 days each week without food and he knew nothing about it. And tell me, where did you sleep? And then he got the biggest shock of his life. He said, there was a big shtender in the base of Medrash at the back. He said, but where did you sleep? Not where you learned, where did you sleep? He said, well, actually, it was quite comfortable under the stender. There was a nice little alcove there under the stender. And a Rebbeinu Shalom. From that conversation, Rabbi Zalman went home, and Ariel Levine went home. In the middle of the night, there was a knock on Ariel Levine's door. Rabbi Zalman's wife was there. And she said to Rabbi, please, put on your coat and come to my house. My husband is distraught. He cannot control himself. He's completely distraught that he should allow somebody in his yeshiva to be able to go by without proper food and without proper sleep. Please come now. Please, he wants to beg Mechila. And this is what Rabbi did. He got up in the night and he went to Mrs. Zalman's house. And indeed, Issa was in a terrible state. And he said, I don't know where to put myself. That I didn't know how somebody was in my own yeshiva. I didn't grab each moment to be on the lookout. And there are so many people around us who, Baruch Hashem, do have where to sleep. And they do have food to eat. And they may have everything. But sometimes people need something which we cannot even tap on. And maybe even the people themselves don't know how to tap on. And they don't even realize what they need. There's something called depression which a person can come home and sit down at home and he's got everything. But somehow he hasn't got simcha. And he can't work out why. He can't understand why. And sometimes all it takes is for somebody, maybe somebody who's not close family, to be able to listen to that person and to hear, tell me something, and let me tell you something. And sometimes an exchange of words between two people can cause so much to make somebody feel a different person altogether. We can't understand how these things work, but the mind of a person is so deep And the heart of a person is so deep. And the way that Eibush has made it, that we're zeicha to be together with so many people, bli ein hara, and we're able to have people of all different characters, all different natures, all different styles, all different colours of the rainbow. And we're able to be with these people, and we're able to listen to them, and be able to speak to them, and be able to achieve. But what we need is to be able to be a person who grabs the moment. Chazal tell us the two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, were identical mountains. They were both in the Midbar together. They were both in the desert. They were both exactly in the same position. One mountain was a mountain for Amida, for Brachas, and the other mountain was a mountain, Amida, for Klolos. The same kind of mountains. All we need is somebody to be able to turn to. Somebody to be able to say, oh, I want to be able to turn with you. Back again to Sefer Bereishis, we find with Yosef HaTzadik, Eishes Potiphar, she nagged him and nagged him day in, day out. She wouldn't let go. What she wore in the morning, she wouldn't wear at night. What she wore at night, she wouldn't wear in the morning. Yosef HaTzadik was about to give in. He was about to say, it's finished anymore. Nira loy dmus dukna shel Aviv. Nothing less than the dmus dukna of Yaakov Avinu was able to save him. Was able to say, if you, Chas v'Sholom, go ahead with the Aveira, there will be a letter missing, a name missing from the Choshen, from this week's Sedra, the Choshen Mishpat. There'll be something missing if you go ahead. It needed that moment for Yosef HaTzadik to be able to say, Tata, you've got me. You've got me, the Choshen's got me, Chal Yisrael's got me, to be able to take off the shackles and be able to say, no, I'm grabbing the moment, and I'll be able to say, oh, I'm part of Chal Yisrael, I'm part of the Shiftei Kor. The same as Yehuda, who said, Sodka b'meni, he was able to be made straight away with Tamar, he was able to say, no, I'm completely with you. And there we are. He'd be able to stay. It takes people to grab the moment. Among us, we have people who've gone off to the Ukraine to be able to do amazing work there. Moshe Fima, who was brought up here in Manchester, he's grabbed the moment he had at the time of inspiration. People need me. Different part of the world, very different part of the world. He was able to pick himself up and to go. Rabbi Yaakov Dov Bleich Shlita, who was the chief rabbi of the Ukraine, he was able, at a chance meeting in the Beis HaKfaros, he was able to say, to talk to people, and to realize that the whole Yiddishkeit in the Ukraine is, when is one allowed to visit Beis HaKfaros? He realized that Yiddishkeit was almost literally dead, and the whole talk was when and when not may one go to a Beis HaKfaros. So he realized, this is my chance to turn Yiddishkeit alive in the Ukraine, to be able to say, I'm not missing the chance, to be able to say, this is what I do. We'll just finish up with a quick story. Erev Yom Kippur, what better day to talk about than grabbing a chance, grabbing a moment? The Hasid Tamidim saw Rabbi Yisrael Salanter with a bag in his hand, and he was coming towards shul in the middle of the afternoon, Erev Yom Kippur. And they looked and they said, oh, we must follow the Rebbe and see what he's doing. We must have a look and see how he's utilizing the moments before Yom HaKadosh, a few hours before Yom HaKadosh. He must be doing some gemalding in tshuva. He must be doing some amazing. He's pointed us somewhere. Let's follow him. And they followed him secretly, quietly. They followed him with his bag. And he came to shul. And they followed him quietly. He did not go into the men's shul. He went upstairs. He went upstairs to the Ezras Noshim. And he took from his bag, he took out a hammer. And he went round the seats. He went round the benches. And he banged away at some nails that were sticking out of some of the benches in shul. And eventually, he saw the Talmidim. They couldn't contain their curiosity anymore. They wanted to be seen by the Rebbe. And they said, Rebbe, what's this all about? Erev Yom Kippur, nothing better to do. And he said, these Noshim Tzidkoniyos are coming to shul on Yom Kippur, and they're going to daven, and they're going to get their dresses caught in the nails. And their whole kavanas of davening is going to be spoiled and ruined, because their dresses are going to be spoiled and ruined. I want to save their tefillahs, and I want to make sure that all the nails are completely in, so that their begotten will not be spoiled, and their kavanas in davening will not be spoiled. Who would think of such a thing, Erev Yom Kippur, than a few nails sticking out in the Ezra's Noshim on the side of the benches and side of the seats? Grabbing the moment is something we all can. We don't need the Urim V'Tumim sometimes, or sometimes we do, the Urim V'Tumim to decide what to do. Should I or shouldn't I? Sometimes a decision is very hard to make, and we all try and defer making decisions. I'll think about it tomorrow. I'll let you know. We have to let ourselves know by grabbing the moment, grabbing every chance we've got, sighing our tefillah, sighing Adon HaChaveiroi, sighing Lima Torah, and with this word of Yizoycha, the Eibushim will grab our chance and build the Beis HaMikdash. B'shniflas Ador Ma'ab B'simcha. Thank you.